to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The full-time report begins right now. It's Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. And we got a lot to say here about this one. A 2-1 defeat. Atlanta United falls at home to New England Revolution. That's the Revolution's first road victory of the season. And just moments ago down on the field, Madison Cruz, also of Soccer Down Here, caught up with Atlanta United assistant coach Rodrigo Rios.
Rodrigo, what did you guys see from the touchline?
Well, that we played like a pretty good game. We created a lot of chances. We played with intensity. And in 5 minutes that we couldn't defend like a set piece then. And like another like a situation that we have a game that was under control. We ended up losing a game that we thought like we played really well.
Looking ahead to Toronto on Saturday, what are some things that you guys are going to be looking to build upon heading into that match?
Is that playing like that 90 minutes that we play with the exception of the 5 minutes that we couldn't defend like two attacks from like the New England. And if we're able to be consistent and put away the chances that we create, we're going to be in a good place.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
Thank you.
John Nelson, Soccer Down Here. The first thing that he said was my biggest takeaway. In 5 minutes, we couldn't defend a game that was under control was lost.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. You end up with you have a 1-0 lead, you're having chances, you're chasing after that second goal, and then in the 73rd, it's a corner, and Will Sands gets there before two Atlanta United defenders do, and that evens things up at one, and then you end up with an entry, and Carlos Heel is there, and he's marked. It ends up being deflected. The cross ends up getting deflected. But once again, you have Peyton Miller getting to the ball before Atlanta United defenders. And Lucas Hoyos is there. And he gets past Hoyos. And you go from one up to one down in 5 minutes. And you're having to chase for 12 minutes. And you don't get the equalizer.
Well, a couple of things you said that I had written down as well. And we'll take it one by one.
Sure.
The first one is, and he addressed it as well, Rodrigo Rios there, five minute stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another instance here, John, where you concede. The response to conceding the first time when it's still level, obviously not enough, and it goes to 1-1. We've talked about it, I don't know how many times, where you're giving up multiple goals in a few-minute span. Tonight was another instance of that. We'll break that down as well, that response or, you know, to some extent, lack of response. The other thing that you mentioned here, John, and I had written down and I agreed with, you're up 1-0, and you didn't sit back.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just cede and wait for New England to score, because that's what happens when this team just sits back, and eventually the team is going to break. You didn't do that tonight. You tried to take it to them, but you couldn't convert. You concede anyways, and then obviously you fall apart. It's almost more frustrating because you continue to take the fight to New England when it was 1-0. You didn't just try and hold the lead. Figured it wouldn't be enough, maybe. You just goes back to what we've had all year. And I know you got one. And I know that you found a breakthrough with Fafa there in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Too many chances. Too many touches. And ultimately, final product still not there.
21-7 shots on the match for Atlanta United. And that was what Tata Martino had been discussing. It's like, you know, you're chasing after the opportunities. Atlanta had those opportunities. They just didn't get those chances. Matt Turner makes 8 saves on the night. 3 of those coming in basically, the last 5 minutes. You end up with 2 in quick succession north of 90, and then you end up with one that was right on the edge of 90 minutes. And so Matt Turner was challenged late, and Turner, you know, I'm not going to use the cliche, but Matt Turner did well for the Revolution to keep that equalizer out of the net at point. So he was challenged. He came to he answered the challenge there. But once again, total shots, 21-7 for the Atlanta United in the advantage. Then you look at shots on target, 9-4. We mentioned the 8 saves there as well. Then the entries, touches in the opposition box. Dominant by Atlanta United, 38-11. 38-11 touches inside the New England 18, and you still don't get that second goal. But once again, you're getting more shots in. Turner gets 8 saves. You don't get that equal. You don't get the second goal, whether it's an equalizer or one that gets you ahead by 2. But touches in the opposition box, you're up by 27.
Yeah,
21 shots on the night. And you end up with only 1 goal, and Matt Turner comes up with 8 saves.
Well, you gave us half a look at the statistics. I may as well finish them out real quick. The XG was 2.9 for Atlanta and 1.1 for New England. And obviously, that flips when you look at the scoreline, and that is partially a problem. I got a couple of different things we want to talk about. I want to talk about the disallowed goal for New England. That was in the 18th minute. We'll talk about that as we go. I also had to talk about an opportunity in the 77th minute for Saba that went awry.
And
that was one that, of all of the moments that I look back on this match, that's the one that pains you, because when you talk about a response, right? This was before they had gotten their second. Moments before.
Yeah. Literally, it was goal, Saba on the breakaway, and then they get the second.
You're within 4 minutes of their equalizer. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to grab back the lead. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But we do this in the first segment every time we have an opportunity to. The man of the match tonight, John. Couple of different choices because you had a couple of new faces there. And again, this team lost, but they did perform well for stretches. Who was our man of the match today?
I got to give it to Fafa Pico.
That's fair.
And considering what we've seen from Fafa, it is the sixth separate MLS franchise that Fafa Pico has scored for. And I think it was the ninth time in Atlanta United history that a player gets a goal in his first start. So a couple of good signs there for Fafa on the night. And he has shown in the last handful of matches in the Open Cup game in Chattanooga and tonight what he brings to the table. And on the night for Fafa, outside of the goal, playing 79 minutes on the night, and one of the highest rated players. It was he and Alexei Medanchik that were north of 8. But you end up with the one shot, the XG of 0.54, goals on target of 0.85, had the one shot, took advantage of it, and created problems for the back line of New England, whether he was combining with Cooper Sanchez early as Cooper was coming down the inside channels, or getting help with Pedro Amador and without what Pedro was doing with early crosses. So Fafa Pico, just those numbers on the night, gets the one goal on the slam dunk on the rebound. But Fafa Pico registering well on the night. So let me see, 20 of 23, three crosses on the night, two key passes for Fafa as well, had one long ball, 87% passing on the night. So Fafa Pico, my choice for man of the match.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one at all. And speaking of Fafa, when we get back, I do want to talk about some of the changes that we saw entering tonight's match, maybe what you think Tata was hoping to get out of it, what he did get out of it, and ultimately what changes may stick as we move forward. We'll break that down along with, again, a 77th minute option that went awry. Do want to talk about the disallowed goal as well. So a lot to break down. Also, we'll get some sound. Jason and Maddie doing yeoman's work down in the bowels of the stadium. So look forward to hearing what they are able to collect and kind of the mindset and thoughts of the players after a difficult defeat. Again, you are listening to the Full-Time Report. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson of Soccer down here. Atlanta United falls tonight 2-1 to New England Revolution. A lot more to break down in 5 minutes as we continue live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full time! This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution despite holding a lead into halftime and all the way up until the 73rd minute. We'll actually hear how it went down throughout the course of the game with these highlights brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. You mentioned it, John. It's John Nelson of Soccer down here, Abe Gordon. Our man of the match, Fafa Pico. His starting debut for Atlanta United in MLS play, and he comes through midway through the first half.
Right corner of the 18, right corner of the 18, back to Saba. Saba now dribbling centrally, back to Moranchuk, right of the arc, pop to the back post. Amador volleys it backwards, shot, Saba, save, rebound, score! Fafa Pico! What appeared to be a miraculous save by Matt Turner ends up as a cleanup goal for Fafa Pico to make it 1-0.
You know, oddly enough, John, it was only 20 minutes after a disallowed goal we'll talk about later was offsides for New England. I was almost worried where Fafa was. He was offsides as of the shot, but they must have taken a look at it, ruled it was good, and so Atlanta United takes the lead. They head into halftime, and you're feeling pretty good about
it. Well, you look at that play, and Alexi sends in the cross to the far post. It looks like there's too much on it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the life preserver that Pedro Amador, it's like Pedro Amador is like, he is sliding and he has got enough presence of mind to save it from going out and bringing it back in play, and it goes inside the six with a ricochet and a goal. But no, just great control off of the cross by Miranchuk, by Amador, to get it back in play and cycled through for goal number one.
So you head into halftime up 1-0, and that holds for nearly a full half hour. Just before that mark, though, directly off a corner, New England finds an equalizer.
Second corner of the match for New England. Heel will send it out of the near corner. Goal to our right. It's 1-0 Atlanta United in the 73rd. Mid in the 7th minute. Right arm in the air for Carlos Heel. The 2021 MLS MVP. He puts it down. Sends this in to the back post. Header. Score. New England finds the equalizer in the 73rd minute with Will Sands.
All right, so tied 1-1, still in position to snag a point here, maybe find one later, but that would change just 5 minutes more on the clock. Again, it's Carlos Heel with a assist to Peyton Miller.
Sands spins it back in the midfield. Fagundes reversing towards the touchline as Sanchez goes down. Center to Heel, left side of the 18. Cross gets through, and they score again. Peyton Miller. Atlanta could not get the subs in, and they are completely out of gas here in New England. Has taken the lead with 2 goals in 5 minutes. They waited too long on the subs, and New England with the fresh legs have burned Atlanta United in a match Atlanta has dominated, and now they're 12 minutes away from losing again.
And those 12 minutes would go by fast. A couple, not much there in the extra time, stoppage time.
Well, but like I said, Matt Turner came up with three big saves in the added time, and one that was late. I want to say it was like in the 88th or something like that. So Turner had three of his eight saves in the final, say, 5 minutes of action.
Yeah, so 5 minute span here turns this game on its end for Atlanta United, and they do fall here 2-1. Let's talk about this Saba opportunity here, John. The New England is pressing. They've got numbers forward. And eventually Atlanta United starts to clear, and Saba gets a ball. We're still in our defensive third, but it's just him and Greengrass. Mm-hmm. And he takes off. It's the keeper's Turner scrambling to get back on his line because he was out well past the 18 based on where the ball was. And it's Saba just with a direct run to goal. At some point, Saba realizes he doesn't have the foot speed to beat his man. He starts trailing to the right side of the pitch.
He starts leaking to his right.
Real frustrating for me. Find a way to get physical. Do what you have to do. Don't take the ball out of the middle of the field. And I don't know what was going through his mind. I don't know why he faded to the right. One of them might have just been a rough touch that pushed him in that direction. You can't take the ball out of the middle of the field in that position, even if you're not fast enough to continually stay ahead of the defender there.
And as I'm playing through, I'm trying to, go through in my head the tail end of the play. So from, say, center line forward.
Yeah.
There's a defender that is literally off his left shoulder, and this is with Saba running and the defender running behind. I was waiting for a dog so moment. I literally was waiting for one of those takedowns off of the left shoulder of Saba. And so I'm thinking that if Saba – and this is just me trying to picture the play in my head. So if Saba is sensing that he has a defender off his left shoulder, then he is going to leak to the right.
Yes.
And if he sees that Matt Turner – is, behaving one way or the other, I understand why he was leaking. But when you're going to your right and you're trying to strike the ball with your right foot, you're turned, and by the time that he has his hips turned as he's trying to address the ball, he doesn't get a whole lot on it. And so I think that as you're being pushed off to the side and you're trying to turn and shoot with the right with Matt Turner there, it's just the angle to me is just too acute that you can try to get anything on it. And so it ended up as an easy save for Turner by the time they were done.
Yeah, look, and this is not a shot at Saba by any stretch. I often never understand why the ball gets taken out of the middle of the field in certain opportunities. Mm-hmm. And this was certainly one of them. And I would almost rather – I'd almost rather him get the ball stripped, make the defender take it away from you. You can't have a guy that's essentially one-on, even if the defender recovers, not even get a shot off that's capable of scoring. I just rather you get stuffed at that point from the center of the field. You make it easier on the keeper because you're taking the ball to an angle. As you mentioned, he got almost nothing on the shot anyways. So the moment was the moment. What is most frustrating about it is twofold, right? It was your response to their goal. Mm. It was 4 minutes, 3 minutes after they had scored, right? And this is something we've talked about. How does this team respond when conceding largely in a failed manner? This was a moment where you could have rewritten that, at least in this game. Not only did that not happen in the 77th minute, but then you turn it around and in the 78th, they find the go-ahead goal, the one that you failed to score on just a minute prior. And it was almost like a double back break, right?
Yeah.
Because Saba gets the ball, and maybe he was tired from the work, the effort that he put in today. But he gets the ball maybe 25, 30 yards out from your own goal, and there's no one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just him.
It is wide open.
Now,
space.
A slight touch as the ball was cleared over him, it does touch him on the head. It still lands in front of him, but it did slow the ball down, maybe made him readjust his initial stride. The acceleration maybe was a little bit slower. That maybe helps the defender recover in the first 10 yards of this play. But he's past midfield, and he's gone. It's just him, and you're thinking, well, it's him and the goalie. Now, it did become apparent at some point he was going to get caught. From behind, and that's, again, we talked about as he starts fading, but you start to see that play develop, and you're like, this is a goal. I can't believe they're going to have this opportunity. We never see Atlanta United just running from midfield with no one else there. In my brain, it was like, this is a goal. I can't believe they're going to respond with a goal
here.
I think
the last time it happened was the Philly game, or was it a Philly game, I want to say, where the defender is behind
Latte Loth caught one, but not from that distance.
Yeah,
out. No, not from that.
No, this was a couple.
Out.
No, this is a couple seasons.
Oh,
ago.
Okay, okay.
A couple seasons ago, and it ends up as a pull down red, and I think it was a Philly game that was here at Mercedes Benz when it happened, and
or Mike's saying Orlando.
Orlando. Okay. Yeah, because I was because just like Wesley Fofana stuck in my head for some reason, and I was trying to. It was Minnesota. Who was it, Mike, that had that wore the headband for Minnesota? It was a Minnesota. It was a takedown for Minnesota. That's who it was. That's where I was trying to wonder about that one. We'll think about it, and that trivia question will be answered in the break. But it was a Minnesota game, I want to say, and you had the defender takedown for a dog so red. But that was, I think, the last time that something was that long a run where you had the opportunity to get a goal.
Well, and it's also just, for me, goals happen quickly, right? In this sport, you know, they got a corner, you know. You always know that off of a set piece, off of a corner, a goal could happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it kind of just happens quick. This was a situation where as soon as Saba's out on the run, I'm like, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
He's
it's
70
wide,
yards
it's
away,
wide open.
And this is going to be a goal. And then ultimately it wasn't, and then a minute later you double on the breakdown there, and they get their second goal, and
right.
That's where your point in this match, your result goes away. So mm-hmm. That one was really frustrating, and again, I just – you're never going to be able to sell me on any explanation to take that ball out of the middle of the field.
Okay.
You have to have that taken away from – in my opinion, that's got to be taken away from you. Find a way to get physical. Do what you have to do to create some space, some distance, get
pull,
a shot
pull,
off.
Pull the air brake and get
sure.
A foul call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been watching Jalen Brunson in the playoffs, man. It's easy to convince guys you're getting fouled. So that was frustrating, but that wasn't the only one. That was probably, in my opinion, the best other opportunity. But mm-hmm. Again, your XG was nearly
because
at three.
You mentioned you get the equalizer in the 73rd. You have this runaway mm-hmm. in the 77th, and then literally coming back down the field the next minute off of the entry by Carlos Heel. It's deflected as it's going inside the six, and it takes an odd bounce. But at the end of the day, Peyton Miller gets to the ball before Atlanta United defenders do and puts it past Lucas Hoyos for the 2-1 lead.
You know, a little bit different from Carlos Heel as it looked on the weekend from Hani Mukhtar. But you and I spoke after – the loss to Nashville, mm-hmm. and with all respect to Sam Surge, it's always Mukhtar that gets him. It just always feels that way. Carlos Heel's another one. Mm-hmm. Carlos Heel is another guy that it just feels Atlanta United lets this guy rack up the numbers. Two more primary assists tonight. Didn't get the goal.
And he's doing it differently, to your point, yeah. where in the past it has always been set pieces, and he's always been the guy, capital T, capital G, troublemaker. But now that Marko Mitrovic has Tergeman, and he's got Langoni that's a part of this, and to go with Carlos Heel, he doesn't have to be the guy, capital T, capital G, anymore. He can be a guy. He can be the instigator and more of a point guard than the shooting guard in scoring for New England. And so it adds that different dimension for Marko Mitrovic.
Let's do this here, John. We got a couple of segments left. I do want to ask you about the lineup,
sure.
and what you were looking for, what you found, and what that might mean for Saturday and also for Tuesday as you pull it forward.
Right.
But when we come back, I want to talk about the 18th minute goal that was then sent to VAR and overturned.
Got it.
I believe, just my opinion, because I do think it was a subjective call, I thought Eleni and I got very lucky in this moment, but you and I will discuss. I know you feel differently,
yeah,
and that's perfectly fair.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly fair. Subjective call there. But we will discuss it, and that was what, at the time, looked like a big break for Atlanta United. And then you take the lead, and you're like, man, maybe it is their night. Ultimately, unfortunately, not their night. They do fall to New England tonight, 2-1. We are coming back in 5 minutes. Stick around. A lot more analysis coming your way. It's the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time. Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Playing it ahead, Sands. Here's his cross to the back post. No one there. Amador tries to tackle it away. It stays in play. Now Amador goes to ground as it's sent back to the top of the arc. Trapped by Youssef. Shot. Score! Golasso! It feels like every time Atlanta United plays, no matter how good the start is, it's only inevitable for something bad to happen. And here we go again. 1-0 New England, totally against the run of play.
Well, like, that was an absolute outstanding strike. Probably would have been in discussion for MLS goal of the match day. But ultimately, after a lengthy delay, it does get overturned into what they saw on VAR as offsides.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, offsides due to goalie interference, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
We have you, it's Abe Gordon, John Nelson, a soccer down here. I will say this before I get into my argument mm-hmm. for the play, and then I want you to counter
sure.
it, John.
I yield the floor to you.
I think it is 100% a subjective decision when looking at this. I think if you wanted to let the goal stand, I think you're in every right to do so. If you wanted to take it away, I also think you're in every right to do so. It's just kind of how you view not only the rules, but the moment, the impact, and the play. I do not think that this should have been ruled offsides. If I were the VAR or the official, I personally would have let the goal stand. I do not think there was an impact on Oyos in terms of any screen. There was obviously 10 to 12, maybe more yards in front of Oyo, so not right in front of him. I also think that an Atlanta United player was right there as well. And then I don't know to what extent you believe this is part of the rule, but the way it was hit, there's the timing of it, there's no impact to Oyo. I just don't believe that anything changes. You could make that guy a ghost, like a physical ghost that he can't see. I don't think Oyos does anything differently. So I don't think it was impacting Oyos, and so I would have let it stand. I certainly understand the rules and why anyone would be in the right to also say, this guy was in an offside, and this is the argument I think you're going to make, this guy's in an offside position, he's as close, if not closer to than the Atlanta United defender as the ball comes by, and it's fair to suggest that it did impact Oyos. While I didn't see it that way, I do think if you wanted to call it that way, you're in the right to do so.
Okay, and we analyzed it at the half as we had a couple of different looks, and we had the chimney cam to look it over, so we looked at it. And so you could take it one of two ways, at least from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have frozen for you, sir, the ground level shot from the slash at the moment of impact from Youssef. So you see Tergeman, you see the Atlanta United defender, and you see probably also two or three other players on both teams.
Just to be fair, I had said 10 to 12 yards. It's probably closer to 7 or 8 yards away.
Okay, that's fine. So you're 2 yards off. And this is where I'm going to stick my thumbs in my ears and you know, wiggle them and sit there and stick my tongue out at you, because I'm looking at it one of two ways. I see this particular still, but like I said, I had another look. Mm-hmm. I had the shot from on high.
The all 22.
I had the all 22 from looking at the 18. So as I was looking at it, I had two different things I was looking at. I was looking at obstruction. I was looking at screening the keeper. And I'm like, I could go down that road because of everyone who is in traffic, including Turgeman, that is keeping Lucas Hoyos from making a clean play on the ball. Second, if Turgeman is judged to be offside, and like I said, that is up to the officials, and it has to be clear and obvious if it goes to VAR. So separate. Screening the keeper, one. So interference on one hand, then offside on the other. It doesn't matter if there's an Atlanta United defender in front of Turgeman. If Turgeman is offside at the moment of impact, then it's offside, and then so I'm looking at it one of two ways, and that's why I disagree with you, sir. Circle gets the square.
Yeah, so I have a real problem with that argument, to be honest, because you can be offsides if it doesn't impact the play. If he's standing here by this left upright, the left crossbar, just offsides, and the shot's to the right side, well, to the right side of the crossbar, to the far side of Hoyos, you can be offsides and not impact the play in goal stands.
Right, true.
So it's not one or the other and both are relevant.
No.
It has to be both. You have to be in offsides position and screening the keeper.
And so
which is the argument you're making, but you almost made it sound like you could take one or the other. It has to be the combination
then
of both.
Then fine, if you've grown combination of both, I see Turgeman in the way, defender in front doesn't matter. Moment of impact from Yusuf, Turgeman is offside, so therefore...
Correct.
And
I have no problem with you feeling that way, by the way. Like I said, I think whichever way you wanted to go with is very defensible. I think it's a subjective call from the official. Mm-hmm. I hate it for Yusef because it's probably the greatest goal he's ever scored, just being honest. I mean, that was an absolute crack.
It
hits the underside of the crossbar.
I think it got a slight deflection off of one of the defenders on the way in.
Oh,
but I mean, it didn't
that.
Really. It didn't
I want
make
it to
a,
be clean.
Fine. It made a deflection on the way in, so it wasn't that much of a banger.
I thought it was pretty good.
No, I'm not denying it wasn't
good. Although it wasn't
good,
a pretty good goal. It was a pretty good almost goal.
I still think that it was slightly deflected.
I think if you properly...
I think it changed trajectory a bit. But yeah. So, no, I'm right there with you. But, no, I would completely disagree with you on the
and
assessment.
That's fair. Like, I openly admit it could go either way. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it impacted Hoyos even in the slightest. And so I would have let it stand. But I certainly understand why it goes... to the other side. Mm-hmm. When we come back here in a couple of minutes here, I want to talk to you not only about the lineup, but also Fafa Pico spoke with Maddie and Jason. So I want to hear what he said. He's obviously a big piece of the adjusted lineup tonight. He gets one of the starts up top, obviously delivers the goal as well. So when we come back here, we'll hear from Fafa and get your thoughts on not only how the man of the match played, but how it grouped into the whole unison there with the entire 11. So that's what's coming up next. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full-Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson, a soccer down here. Atlanta United falls to New England Revolution 2-1 in this one, and it was a match in which they led 1-0 into halftime due to a 38th-minute tally by our man of the match, Fafa Pico. And Maddie and Jason had an opportunity to catch up with Fafa a couple of minutes ago post-game. Here's how that conversation sounded.
Fafa, just what's the feeling after a night like that?
Tough. You know, you go ahead and you start to get this feeling that it's going to, you know, turn things around, but then you get 2 quick goals, and it's tough. It's a tough one.
What changed after they got the first goal?
I personally couldn't tell you. I just feel like that just comes down to a mental issue and, you know, just something that we just got to work on, honestly.
What are some things you guys are looking to build upon, especially heading into Saturday's match against Toronto?
I think, you know, the part of us being proactive and getting the first goal, but now understanding that, you know, when we are ahead and we are proactive, keeping that and building on that, not just being complacent and satisfied with one goal, but now going for the second, finishing the third, and killing off teams because we have the group to do it. It's just not coming together.
When you have a match like
Yeah, there was Fafa Pico, and he said a couple of things I thought were really interesting. And the first one right off the bat there was that you get that lead, and you had the feeling that it was going to turn things around. And I kind of had the same thought up top. Again, we just talked about it last segment, but the 18th-minute goal where you're down 1-0, lengthy delay, it gets overturned, you're back to 0-0, and then you go on top, and you go into halftime, you're feeling good, and you could see this team is still pushing, still trying to find their way towards a second goal. They weren't just sitting back and letting New England have the play. And it did kind of feel like a step, really for the first time in a while, a real step in the right direction. But ultimately, that didn't play itself out over the next couple of stretches. But I agree with Fafa. It felt like, hey, maybe something is going to go in their favor, and they are starting to, you know, pick up some spots in the standings, but ultimately wasn't there. When he was asked what changed in that 5-minute stretch, and we'll say conceded, a little worrisome, and I know they haven't watched the tape and all that, but the fact that he couldn't figure out what changed. He just said it's a mental issue and you got to get past it. And then he was asked, how do you build off of this sort of performance? He says you got to build when you have the lead. You can't get complacent. And I'll be honest, I don't think they did get complacent. Mm-hmm. I thought they were still taking the fight to New England, even up 1-0, but ultimately 2 goals in 5 minutes certainly changed that. And from there, it was an uphill battle. John, you were also listening to Tata at the same time. What did you pick apart from what Tata Martino had to say?
He is still talking right now to the assembled media. He thought that they controlled the game. They weren't solid in either of the two boxes. And then he was asked about the idea of changing the mentality of the team. And he says he didn't think that today was a mentality problem. And he thought that they were superior to the opponent, but that didn't come across. They did not play like the opponent had a better mentality. He said it was unheard of to have 2 chances and 2 goals. And he said that he came back and he said that they weren't even goal chances. And so literally it was something that we've talked about a lot. But Tata doesn't think that the mentality has to change. And at least tonight, that it was not a mentality problem. But they did control the game and had 5 or 6 chances. They just weren't solid in either box.
So let me ask you this, separate of tonight.
Sure.
Do you think the previous run of defeats, games in which you lost to Nashville, Chicago, Columbus, because I don't know if I felt this way then either. Do you think that was a mentality problem? Because I don't think it's a mentality. I don't think this team is lacking confidence.
No.
I don't think this team is down on itself. They certainly haven't stopped fighting.
Right.
I think they just can't score.
Yeah.
And I know you got one today, but again, Saba had a runaway, and that didn't happen. You had some opportunities late.
Yeah, I mean,
Turner makes some 21-7
good saves. 21-7
shots, yeah. And I just think ultimately, I don't think it is a lack of mentality. I don't think it is folding or giving up on the season. I mean, you just can't score. And until you figure that part out, I don't know where else you can go. You were the better. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You were the better team, with the exception here and there, but really with the exception of 5 minutes, you were significantly
moments.
A better team.
It is. Yeah. It is moments, and that is what we've been discussing with Atlanta United this year. There are matches where they have been in control for the majority of the match. Then when a goal is scored, how do you respond when that goal is scored? And then I've mentioned quicksand in the past. And it's the idea of, okay, one mistake happens, then another, then another, then another. And you try to avoid that. Sometimes we've seen that. It's not been something consistent, but you've been in control. But the moments of what have come up and bitten you this year.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, Shane Falco.
Jimmy McGuinty is anything but a traditional coach, Abe.
Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I thought we were adding $2,000 more tonight, but unfortunately, up until the 70th minute, it looked like we were, but did not happen. So this year's donation total is currently still $2,000. When we come back here, we'll hear from Alexi Maranchuk. And I'm going to get to this question about the lineup, what you received,
sure,
and what it means going forward.
Not going anywhere.
Start to turn the page to Toronto. Well, I'm hoping to go home in a couple of minutes.
Careful.
But we'll hear from Alexi Maranchuk first. That's what's coming up next. It's John Nelson, Abe Gordon. It's Full Time Report, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United.
WZGC Atlanta at WZGC HD1. Always free on the Odyssey app.
Full time!
This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Final couple of minutes here. Abe Gordon and John Nelson. The man who wore the captain's armband today, Alexei Moronchuk. Obviously, Miggy is out still dealing with that knee injury. And so for the second straight match, it was Alexei Moronchuk with the armband. And Matty and Jason had a chance to catch up with the captain tonight as well after the match.
Here in the locker room with Alexei Moronchuk. Alexei, what's the feeling after a game like that?
Oh, when you see, I just said, when you see the statistics of the game and you see the result, it's really like disappointing and frustrating. You don't understand how this is happening, but it is what it is. I need to, on Saturday we go again, so adjustment and we go again, so there is no time to digger. I mean, it's football, it is what it is, you never know.
It felt like the team created good chances. It felt like there was more movement in the attacking third. You know, what's the next step to build on from this?
Yes, I agree. It was good movement, good understanding of each other. Everybody did their job, but we know that in the second half we need to stay focused and alert. But we can see it in the second round. So I don't know. I have no answer, to be honest, but I know that we're going to stay positive. I know it's frustrating for everybody, not for only for the player, but for fans and everyone. But we're trying to do our best. We need to do better for sure, but we do 100%.
Things here, John, mm-hmm. And I think his first response later got circled back to in his final response. He said early on in that discussion, you know, we don't understand how this is happening. And my first thought was, man, they just don't have answers. He then literally said that later. I have no answer. We're going to stay positive. That's what we talked about earlier. It's not a team that has folded. It's not a team that has given up. They are still fighting. Mm-hmm. But as players right now, they don't have answers. It would appear, based on some of the comments from Tata, at least in the moment, he doesn't have answers either. And so they're in this together, player and staff, trying to figure out how they can get some of these things moving in the direction they need it to. And when you look at what Tata can change, what he can do, I think we saw a little bit of that tonight with the starting lineup. Well, I think we saw Fafa in there a little bit better. I loved what we saw from Cooper and Matt as mm-hmm. well. But as you hear that from Alexei, where does your mind go in terms of looking for answers? And then ultimately, how do you try and find the solutions if you're Tata?
Well, I mean, I know that you also, you're looking at the lineup tonight. And to Alexei's point and to Jason's point, there were the chances. You saw Cooper Sanchez, and this was asked of the players, of the younger players specifically, by Tata. It's like, go on and get engaged. Be inside the 18. Be active as a part of what's going on offensively. You saw that with Cooper tonight. Cooper tonight, he's acting like a left winger.
He was going to have one in front of goal. It was an incredibly difficult touch to keep under the bar, but there was the opportunity.
Yeah, and so you have Cooper, who is taking advantage of space that is given to him, and I think that's what, you know, Tata is looking for from his midfielders and from his center backs, and, you know, from the outside backs to create from the wings to have something done. So I think that you're seeing what Tata wants them to do. But once again, it's just that final product and getting the ball in the net that is the issue. It's not from a lack of trying this time around. It's just from the lack of putting it in the back of the net.
I also don't think that's a lack of tactics. I think it's individual players, not even players. I think it's individual moments from players that is just not ultimately where it needs to be. You got one today. You had other opportunities. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Cooper in front. Incredibly difficult. So you can't fault him for not being able to get that ball down. But you look at it as a guy that's kind of open in the goal mouth and had an opportunity there in front of goal. Certainly, we talked about Saba already. And, you know, I went back and looked. with Sophia, who takes outstanding pictures. I just think it was a bad touch, if we're going to be honest. I think a touch put him further right than he would have wanted, and that probably threw things off stride and it never really recovered on the attempt from there. But it's the moments of the individuals. I think tonight was a better step in terms of you gave the numbers, being dangerous, mm-hmm. looking dangerous, feeling dangerous. I think there was a feeling when Fafa puts home the goal, right? You already had theirs turned back over. You now go up 1-0, and there is a feeling like, hey, something kind of broke our way for the moment. But again, the response is just not what it needs to be. Two goals in 5 minutes, and sandwiched in between that is the lost opportunity from Saba. And it's just not enough at the end. You pushed for it, but a couple of lost opportunities on shots, a couple of saves from Matt Turner, and ultimately you're not there. Now you turn around, still dealing with match compression. Mm-hmm. You know you've got U.S. Open Cup on the Tuesday after. This is an international trip. It's an early kickoff time.
A Saturday matinee in Toronto.
That's right. So a lot of things to consider here for Tata. I don't know how different you want to make things. It kind of depends. Again, I think you have to work your way back from what you want to do Tuesday and then make your decision based off what you saw today, but also considering Saturday's match.
And that's the two sides that you're dealing with here, is that you're looking at Open Cup and the opportunity to continue in it, to advance in a tournament, and you're balancing that with what has happened on the weekend with Nashville. Tonight with New England, mm-hmm. traveling to Toronto, and then coming back to turn around and go up to Charlotte, suburban Charlotte, for Tuesday to be in the Open Cup against Charlotte FC. So there's a lot that you have to kind of juggle here when it comes to minutes and effectiveness and what it's going to look like. And so this is where the staffs and the coaching staffs and the physios really do earn their money, because of four matches in 12 days that you're staring at with Atlanta United.
Well, we'll have all the coverage leading up to that match again on Saturday across the northern border there. So that's going to do it here for the full-time report. You can join us again at noon on Saturday, April 25th, for our next broadcast. Atlanta United will take on Toronto FC. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky.
Thank you, Dom.
Our producer back in studio. And to John Kramer.
Thank you, Kramer.
Our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason.
Thank you, Mike and Jason.
Voices of Atlanta United. To Madison Cruz and John Nelson.
Thank you, Maddie. Thank you, John.
Of Soccer Down Here, I'm Abe Gordon.
Thank you, Abe.
Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 1, New England Revolution 2, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.